August 11, 2016. I'm calling to order the Pappy, Missouri River Natural Resources District meeting. Please raise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A copy of Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Rev State Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of this meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedures that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report and their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments should be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt directors' discussion and action. Thank you. With that, quorum call, please.
Bonnet.
Present.
Greg Conley.
Here.
John
Conley. Here.
Fowler. Frost.
Yeah.
Leahy.
Caesar.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Poodle.
Here.
And Shepard.
Here. And with that, we do have an excused absence for Director Tim Fowler and Patrick Leahy. Moving on to agenda item 4, adoption of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call on the motion.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
No.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes. Yes. Moving on to agenda item 5, adoption of the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call on the motion, please.
John Conley.
Yes.
Frost.
No.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Greg Conley.
Aye.
And Shepard.
Yes. In my hand, I have an affidavit of proof of publication for this meeting that will become part of the permanent record for this meeting. Moving on to item number 8, agency and association reports and presentations, 8A. Natural Resources Conservation Service report, Neil Jensen.
Good evening.
Good evening, Neil.
Last month, I talked about the CSP program and some of the practices that the producers are using, and I'm going to talk about that program again. It is one of the largest conservation program in the United States. It has about 70 million acres enrolled in it, and like all programs with the government, they're constantly tweaking it, and so they're going to be tweaking this one. They've been working on it for a year, and it's supposed to roll out this year. Some of the things that won't change is it's still going to be a five-year contract. A participant can earn up to $40,000 a year, so $200,000 over the five-year contract, depending on which enhancements and practices that they're going to do. Hopefully what's going to change is the ranking tool. The ranking tool is about a 20-page question about your farm and ranch, and it's really cumbersome. You've got to provide maps on all the property you operate, and it really just takes forever to even evaluate just one applicant. And so that is supposed to be going away. Now, I'm not naive enough to know there's got to be some type of ranking to evaluate one application against the other, but hopefully they do a good job and make life a lot simpler for us and our producers. The other thing that's supposed to happen is there's supposed to be a lot more enhancements that they're going to add to the program, and probably double the amount of conservation practices that are eligible to be installed with this program. The other thing that I saw that I really like is that we're going to be able to have some local input into how that money is spent. What practices do we want to prioritize? And that is something that this program really hasn't had. So I'm really looking forward as they unveil this in the next 2-3 months that it truly is allows the local states and partners to be able to provide input into targeting the resource concerns of the area. The other thing that's not on my report, but just want to mention with EQIP, we're continuing now to get additional funding as we're robbing money from other NRDs and state programs, and so we've probably approved another 5-6 applications for EQIP funding. Majority of this is going for cropland, so it's been terraces and waterways, but about another $100,000 that we've received, so within this NRD. Any questions? Okay, thank you, Neil.
Moving right along to 8B, Nebraska Association of Resource Districts, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NARD Annual Conference will be held at the Yonge Conference Center in Kearney on September 25th to 27th. You have in your packet a registration form. If you intend to go, please give it to Gene at ASAP. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Director Teaser. So if we're moving on to 8C, Legislative Report, Hush Blackwell. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening. Your legislative government relations team continues to meet with state senators and legislative candidates during the summer. Last Thursday, Ron Sedlacek and I also attended the legislative summit that the Nebraska Chamber of Commerce and the Omaha and Lincoln Chambers of Commerce sponsor out at the Stratcom Museum. I was able to talk with the governor and several state senators and also one of the legislative candidates from the Elkhorn District at the conference. The Offutt, Missouri River levees around Offutt Air Force Base were repeatedly mentioned during the program. The Papio Missouri NRD was mentioned and referenced as one of the partners in that effort. Just as a personal comment, it was my observation anyway that I felt that there was kind of a lack of appreciation for the role that this district played in that process to some extent. And I would say that you should be especially proud of your role in that. Clearly, this was a team effort with the congressional delegation, the governor's office, and the legislature. But we would not be where we're at today in terms of the great success in protecting the future of Offutt Air Force Base if it wasn't for this board and the leadership of the general manager and the staff of this district. So I just wanted to comment on that. But it was mentioned a number of times at the during the program. That's it.
Thank you, Steve. All right, continuing right along to 8D, Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance, we have a written report from Megan Sittler. So we'll move right along to 9, the public hearing on District's Erosion and Sediment Control Program Rules and Regulations. Terry Schumacher. Good evening, Terry.
I'm here.
Vermont, John Wichler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay, we will open the public hearing at 7:08 p.m. The first item is the identification of exhibits, is the evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, which we have as part of the packet. The next item is the explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Mr. Gross.
Thank you. This hearing is being conducted pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute Section 2-4607. To receive input from the public on proposed changes to the Erosion and Sediment Control Act regulations of the Papio Missouri River NRD. These amendments reflect changes enacted by the Nebraska Legislature in 2015. Among the changes is the elimination of the 90% cost share requirement and strengthening of the authority of the NRDs to issue cease and desist orders. The purpose of the rules is to provide an orderly method for implementing the Act to provide for the conservation and preservation of the land and water resources of the district by reducing damage from wind and water erosion and sediment.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Next agenda item is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is the notice of public hearing in the Omaha World Herald on July 23rd, July 30th, August 4th, and August 6th. Exhibit 3 is the explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Exhibit 4 is the memo to the Board of Directors. Exhibit 5 is the amended District Erosion and Sediment Control Program Rules and Regs. Exhibit 6 is the Nebraska Statutes Sections 2-4601 to 2-4613, Erosion and Sediment Control Act. Exhibit 7 is the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources Letter of Recommendation dated August 1, 2016 and June 27, 2016, Nebraska Natural Resources Commission Meeting Minutes. Next agenda item is discussion of the erosion and sediment control program rules and regulations. Terry Schumacher.
Good evening. The Nebraska State Statute 2-4605 states each district shall, with the approval of the director, adopt a district program for implementation of the state erosion and sediment control program. Included in Exhibit 7 is a letter from the director of the Natural Resources Commission approving the district's erosion and sediment control program. DNR staff and the NRD Managers Working Group recommended changes to the state and NRD Sediment Erosion Control Program to meet the requirements of the new legislation. The purpose of this effort was to provide consistency in the programs across the state. Exhibit 5 is the amended District Erosion and Sediment Control Program rules and regulations. The three major changes in the 2015 Sediment and Erosion Control Program adopted by the state are eliminating the 90% NRD cost share requirement, adding a definition of ephemeral erosion, and strengthening the NRD's authority to issue cease and desist orders. There are a couple of technical edits from the plan that the board approved in July. These include page numbering and a typo in reference to the exhibits. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Terry? How does this affect terraces and stuff?
As far as our cost share program and anything, it has no effect on that program.
The simple answer for the hearing and the changes is we need to amend our policies to reflect state law. That's currently passed by the legislature, signed by the governor, and it's now on the book. So we're simply bringing our policies into that. That's the short of it.
Any further questions for Terry? Director Bonner?
Page 2, Section J, sediment damage. How exactly is that determined? Is it graded? Is there a certain levels of damage that can be claimed?
Well, I think, Director Bonnet, it's when there's sediment damage, typically it's going to be pretty obvious. So you have documentation, a lot of it's photo documentation. Now, as far as levels of that, that's where you would have to consult with the technical partner, NRCS, and determine, the runoff and soil loss. But the physical damage, you can go out and physically see.
Wouldn't that necessitate a measuring of what soil was on a property before the damage occurred or before the erosion loss occurred?
Well, I think it really comes back to going out there, and it's in most cases it's a black and white issue. You can see if there's sediment and erosion that's come from the adjoining property onto, the neighboring property. If you don't see anything, then typically that'll be a reason for dismissal. And you have educated professionals that are out looking at this, resource professionals. So it's generally pretty clear cut on what.
Just assuming that the soil loss is immediately adjacent to the other property. But if it's eroded in one area and travels downstream a ways and then settles
out,
how do you determine that source material? How much came from the adjacent property versus just natural flow from upstream?
Well, and that goes back to your soil loss equations. I mean, where you're going to make that determination, but it's still, you have to go out and physically see the damage.
Most of this doesn't occur in a stream. It occurs from soil erosion off of another neighboring field. So there's vegetation damage, there's gullies, there's all types of telltale signs that in fact, they're not controlling the water on their land. It wouldn't be something that would run into a stream, then run several miles downstream. It's typically from field to field or property
to
property.
Neighbor to neighbor.
Yeah. Those are the majority of the issues that this would address.
Any further questions?
So this would be like commercial property not controlling their water and running across, say, a farm field?
It could. I mean, it all depends on what jurisdiction and what how that falls in.
Yeah, it could. Okay. Agenda item 7 is receive testimony and statements from the public. Is there anyone that would like to provide any statement or testimony to these proposed rules and regulations? Second time, is there anyone who would like to provide any statements or testimony to the proposed rules? And third and final time? Okay. Seeing none, agenda item 8 is the reception of the exhibits, and agenda item 9 is the hearing adjournment at 7:15 p.m. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Well, moving on to agenda item 9. The 9A, the adoption of the rules and regulations. With that, the public hearing of the District Erosion Sediment Control Program Rules and Regulations. 9A1, adoption of the rules and regulations for the Erosion and Sediment Control Program. It's a recommendation that the proposed Papin Missouri River NRD's Erosion and Sediment Control Program Rules and Regulations be adopted and incorporated in the district's policy manual as Appendix 1. Appendix I, thank you very much. We have a motion.
So move.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? And then we'll call on the motion.
Ross.
Yeah.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Woodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
No.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
Motion carries 7-8.
Thank you, Jean. Moving on to agenda item 10, public comment and input on the Papin Missouri River NRD fiscal year 2017 budget. John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We discussed this pretty lengthy on Tuesday. I'll just give a brief overview of the budget, and then we'll open it up for public comment. The district is proposing a total budget of $70,575,396, with a property tax requirement of $23,043,141. And a tax levy of 0.038034. After the public input hearing, there will be a vote, and then the final budget is not adopted until September, when the final tax and the final tax levy is set as well. We will not receive final valuations from the counties until later this month. We have a preliminary evaluation from Sarpy County. But again, final numbers aren't available. So this draft 2 will change draft 3 will change from draft 2, guaranteed, because we'll get some different numbers. So we will adjust that, obviously, and then prepare that final draft for vote in September. So we can open it up for any public discussion or any public input on the budget. If anyone would like to provide any testimony or comments, feel free to do so. If you come up, please state your name and your address for the record.
Wade Junker, 12404 Pawnee Road, and I'm here tonight presenting on behalf of Sean Melotz, who lives at 10404 North 132nd Street, Omaha, Nebraska. And I have copies here for the board of directors here. There's 12 in there. Good evening. Guess I'm the only person.
Thank you.
So this is in response to agenda item number 10, public comment on fiscal year 2017 budget. Sean writes, my review of the proposed budget creates frustration, particularly when the Papio NRD staff has presented a budget that increases the property tax requirement by $2.7 million, a 13% increase. Comparing this year's budgeted property taxes to fiscal year 2015, the Papio NRD has increased our property taxes by $5,250,000 over a two-year period alone. As staff and members of the board pat themselves on the back for a budget that reports a no increase in the tax levy, it should be recognized that the taxpayers will be paying more in property taxes. due to the increases in our property valuations. Using the excuse that other government entities use this methodology simply does not make the practice acceptable. Turning to the summary page of the fiscal year 2017 budget report, taxpayers should be angered by the $70.5 million of proposed expenses, which nearly doubles last year's expenditures. Spending by the Papua NRD must be brought under control. This board should aggressively remove all unnecessary spending from the proposed budgets and provide property tax relief that citizens deserve. As such, I offer the following recommendations. While some are in line items, some of the line items may seem insignificant, the requested changes total to $4.6 million in tax savings, which is a significant amount. And she provides a list here, and it details what pages of the budget those are found on. Page 3 and 5, a $60,000 item. Remove other special projects from $60,000 to zero. Ironically, by eliminating the $60,000, there will be no increase in this line item. Actually, fiscal year 2016 expenses will mirror the fiscal year 2017 budgeted total. Next item, page 4, $26,864. Technical account number 4575. Correct the allocated salaries. Technical. The budget reports $768,475 of allocated technical salaries. However, the offsetting technical salaries reported elsewhere in this budget totals to $795,339. Dollars in must agree to dollars out. The offsets must match. Correct the reporting of account 4575 from $768,475 to $795,339, which is a $26,864 difference. She goes on to list where those amounts that she's gathering to total so those offsets can match are found. Third item, $45,000. Page 7, public information campaigns, number 828. Stop the propaganda campaigns. Government entities should not self-promote. Remove this $45,000 item from the budget. Page 4, $700,000. Necessary cash reserve. Account number 4999. $700,000 budgeted on page 4, account 4999 is not necessary when the Papua NRD consistently holds tens of millions of taxpayer dollars in their accounts. Exclusive of this reserve amount, the budget includes over $3,300,000 of cash reserves reported elsewhere. On page 29, $1.9 million of cash reserves are included as expenditures in the Watershed Fund, plus on page 30, $1.4 million of cash reserves are included as expenditures in the WP5 project fund reported. These amounts are listed as expenditures and are titled Ending Cash on Hand. Therefore, the $700,000 budgeted for necessary cash reserves is not necessary and should be removed. Next item, page 15, $640,000. Urban Conservation Assistance Programs, Urban Drainage Way Programs. Review the $1,280,000 in new applications and consider cutting at least 50% of these projects and hold them over until the next fiscal year. If these budgeted expenditures are decreased to fiscal year 2016 actual amounts, property taxes will decrease by $640,000. Page 20, Lake Dredging Program. Eliminate the $100,000 budgeted for the City of Omaha Fontenelle Park Lagoon. This expenditure should be incurred by the city. Page 25, Trails Assistance Program. Eliminate the $556,513 of new applications and consider holding these projects over until the next fiscal year. Pages 29 through 32, the Watershed Fund, $2,500,000. Rather than spending $2.5 million in professional fees for WP1, WP4, DS12, and DS19, consider less costly alternatives for flood control, such as levees, dry dams, lids, etc. This budget includes over $18,300,000 of spending on dams, nearly 79% of property taxes proposed in this budget. It's time to discuss the less costly, less intrusive alternatives for flood control. Total savings would amount to $4,621,864. The $4.6 million of suggested property tax savings would decrease both the property tax requirement and the tax levy reported on the fiscal year 2017 budget as follows. total property tax requirement would change from $23 million to $18,400,000, which is a 20% savings. And the tax levy would decrease from 0.038034 to 0.026102. In conclusion, Sean respectfully tasks this board to thoroughly review these suggested property tax savings and vote to eliminate the unnecessary spending included in the fiscal year 2017 budget. In addition, I respectfully request that a copy of my testimony and attachments be included with the recorded written minutes of the Papio Missouri River NRD August 2016 board meeting. Thank you, Sean Milots. And myself speaking for her on her behalf, I also echo the same. I don't see the propaganda, the ad campaigns that I see at 6 o'clock in the morning as meaningful to me as a taxpayer, or these recreational trails and lakes that are highly appreciated by the citizens, as just came out in Douglas County Post-Gazette yesterday. So any questions I'd be willing to answer. I don't have the budget in front of me, but it's pretty clear what she wrote out here.
John, I'll see if anybody else wants to testify then while I'll address some of the inaccuracies in this testimony.
Is there anybody else from the public who wants to speak to that?
Yes.
Thank you, Wade.
Sure. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen. My name is Doug Little, 1619 North 102nd Street, Omaha, Nebraska. I'm here representing the Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom, and I'm reading this as presented by Doug Kagan, the president of the association. The NRD budget shows a total property tax requirement increase of 14%. The cumulative increase in your property taxes assessed has almost doubled in 2 years. 5.2 million more in property tax revenue. Yet 11 of the 12 accounts show that they have expended less than their appropriated amounts, several less than 50%. These unspent funds should revert to the general fund for future appropriations, not retained for these several accounts. Your increasing cash reserve by $100,000 and pumping up the cash on hand makes us wonder if the NRD is simply attempting to keep its mill levy the same and thus raise our taxes, page one. The bulk of NRD expenses are in the watershed fund and show an 88% increase for fiscal year 2017. Yet only 44% of this funding is used in fiscal year 2016. This situation leads us to conclude that such utilization pads the amount of NRD property tax revenue required or needed. NRD budget continues to bloat annually. The grant amounts will shrink considerably in your budget, and an impetus should be placed on budget cuts. Our recommendations are a projected 6.5% increase in all categories of insurance premiums is higher than the percentage in the last three fiscal years. Employee health insurance costs would rise about 13%. So require employees to pay a larger percentage of their premiums. Eliminate or decrease $65,000 in service awards and $50,000 in staff travel. Eliminate $78,000 in lobbying costs. Board members can lobby. Public taxing authority should not spend our tax dollars to hire someone to promote their interest. Maintenance salaries should rise by 5% and maintenance service costs rise. Consider privatization of this service, page 3 and 4. Drop district individual dues and membership in organizations, page 5. End information support programs, i.e. flyers, mailings, Facebook, to save $21,000, page 6. End trade shows to save $3,000 and unnecessary public information campaigns to save $45,000. In promotion items like seed packets and bobbers to save $22,000. In promotions in newspapers, etc., to save $14,000 and save $15,000 by ending education assistance programs. Drop Spectrum newsletter to save $27,000, pages 6 and 7. Eliminate special education events like Earth Day, World of Water, and environmental teams to save $23,500. stop general education programs like camps and compete with private services that compete with private services, and that will save $24,000. Eliminate more nature programs and save $25,000. Page 8. Eliminate new applications for urban conservation assistance programs to save $207,000. Page 16. Concentrate less on recreational development and more on your core mission to prevent flooding, saving over $154,000. Page 21. Phase in recreation area improvements slower. Terminate extraneous programs such as forestry and wildlife, saving $4,500. Wildlife habitat programs, saving $30,000. And celebrate trees, saving $75,000. Page 26. Utilize the guidelines offered by LB 960, recently passed by our legislature, by contracting on large projects for design and construction at one time, delivering projects in a faster and more efficient manner. Submitted by Douglas Kagan, and I thank you.
Thank you.
And I have a copy that you can take.
Is there anyone else in the audience would like to provide testimony? Okay. Just a couple of things and some couple of things that were not accurately portrayed. It indicates that the budget has a property tax increase of $2.7 million or a 13% increase. If you do the math with your phone calculators, if you want, the request is $23,043,141, and last year's was $21,975,704. So it's a little over a million extra in property tax revenue. So I don't know where that 13% number comes from. Actually, it's about 4.5 or 4.6. The overall budget of $70.5 million is actually less than last year, and it's actually less than 15, less than 14, less than 13, less than 12. So the overall budget has decreased significantly over the last 4 or 5 years. So again, that was not entirely portrayed as accurate. The $2.5 million of the watershed fund, there's an indication that $18.3 million of spending on dams, and that's nearly 79% of property taxes. That is inaccurate as well. The $18.3 million is not dams. It also includes the Offutt levy, which is an unfunded federal mandate handed down by FEMA. And without that particular piece of infrastructure, the 55th Wing would move to another base somewhere in the country, and the state would lose 10,000 employees and $1.3 billion in economic impact. So flood control is just not dams. The real numbers are it's $12.6 million, property tax requirement, which is 55% of the overall budget, because they didn't count over the $9 million that the district brought in from cost shares and other money from other agencies, state, local. So it's very misleading. It's not 79% of property taxes. It's 55%. And with a huge project, not by our making. We could walk away from it because we don't have to do it, but the consequences would be catastrophic to everyone's budget, not just ours. The state, Omaha, Bellevue, Sarpy County, Douglas County, and I'm sure some other counties up further north. The unspent funds, our projects are a little different than some that you testify maybe at the city or the county level. Our projects are very contingent upon weather, permitting, all of those types of things. So when you plan to do a project in a year, either Mother Nature doesn't cooperate, or the Corps of Engineers doesn't cooperate, or maybe the Department of Natural Resources doesn't cooperate in giving you those permits. The employee health insurance, I don't know where that number came from, but we've experienced premium increases less than 5% for the past. Gene, can you help me out there? Percent increase. So I would challenge any other governmental entity to have that premium increase over those years. In fact, we have some governmental entities that contact us that want to join our insurance pool because they can't afford their premium increases. So just a couple things to highlight that necessarily some of the things that were stated aren't entirely accurate.
And if anybody ever wants to sit down before the budget is presented and prepared, we would gladly to show you the real numbers and how this is generated. But those numbers that were presented testimony are not accurate whatsoever. You know, and again, the cuts, I mean, that's up to the board, and everyone has their opinions on what's worthy to be funded and what's not. But I think it's incumbent upon us to show when something is being misrepresented. And those numbers were entirely misrepresented. So that's all I have to say.
I think, Mr. Chairman, it's also important for this public information to understand the nature of our cash reserves and the immediacy of some of the events that might occur, such as a levy breach. Could we? What was the cost of the single levy breach that occurred last year?
Up in Dakota County?
Yeah.
Exactly, what was the total?
480 or?
Total ended up being right around 300,000.
300,000 for one levee breach, and 5,000 acres, I believe, was flooded. So, just for the public's knowledge, that's something that has to be handled right away. We need to get contractors out there, special equipment if the site is quite a ways away from any town. So, 700,000 is, as our general manager indicated on Tuesday, woefully low.
I think so. All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Moving on to subcommittee reports, agenda item number 11.
It comes in
11A, Executive Subcommittee to fill the vacancy for Subdistrict Number 1. Be resolved that the minutes of the August 9th, 2016 meeting of the Executive Subcommittee to fill the vacancy of Subdistrict 1 are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of this subcommittee is hereby adopted and approved. Candidate to advance for further consideration at the August 11th, 2016 board meeting, recommendation that William Ray III advance for further consideration as the district or as director for subdistrict number one at the August 11th, 2016 board meeting. One, the following individual advance for further consideration as director for subdistrict number one at the August 11th, 2016 board meeting, William Ray III. Two, further nominations of qualified candidates may be made by a board member at the August 11th, 2016 board meeting upon a nomination and a second of the prospective candidate. Three, the individuals forwarded by the Executive Subcommittee are nominated as herein provided, may address the board for up to 5 minutes prior to the public comment and board discussion for voting. Election of director to fill the vacancy for Subdistrict Number 1, Tappan Missouri River and Natural Resources District Board of Directors resolution, whereas the chairperson of the Board of Directors of the Tappan Missouri River and Natural Resources District has notified the board of the untimely death of Subdistrict Number 1, Director R. Scott Japp, and whereas the Board of Directors has the responsibility and authority to select a successor, now therefore to be resolved that William Ray III be and is hereby appointed as Director of the Papua Missouri River Natural Resources District for the remainder of the unexpired term of Subdistrict 1 position and until a successor is elected and qualified with effective date of appointment being August 11th, 2016. Be it further resolved that a copy of the resolution be filed with the Secretary of State of Nebraska as required by law.
You don't need it.
Okay.
You don't need this committee.
Okay. With that,
I'll make a motion.
I'm going to open up to public comment briefly. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Yes, Mr. Jett.
Good evening. My name is Ted Japp. Do I need to state my address?
Yes, please.
13514 County Road P30, Blair, Nebraska. It's a pleasure to appear before you. I've got a couple of concerns regarding the selection process utilized by this board in selecting an interim director, and I want to cover that real briefly here before you. Number one, in a letter dated August 2nd, 2016, signed by John Winkler, General Manager, I received a response to my letter of application to Subdistrict 1. In this letter, I'm going to read this to you. It says, the candidates will go before the Executive Subcommittee to fill the vacancy in Subdistrict 1 at the August 9th, 2016 meeting. The meeting is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. Each candidate will be allotted a maximum of 10 minutes before the Executive Committee. subcommittee. The orders of interviews will be conducted alphabetically. And on the back sheet that was included, it listed Ted Japp, Vince Cramper, Sean Malotz, Bill Ray, Brian Smith, Tana Wirtz, and Denny Zalock were all scheduled to appear before this subcommittee. It goes on to say that you are scheduled to go before the subcommittee from 5 to 5:10. So I was scheduled to go before the subcommittee. So three different times it states the candidates will go before the executive subcommittee. There's no other option listed here. And so I rearranged my schedule. I had other things to do. I rearranged my schedule to accommodate this. Five candidates sat on this hot seat right here before the subcommittee answering questions that were heard by all the other subcommittee members as well as Mr. Winkler. It's a rather stressful situation, you might say, at times. And there was a certain standard applied to five candidates. But however, one candidate had a completely different standard applied to him. Mr. Ray wasn't here. And I was told that he was granted one-on-one telephone interviews with each subcommittee member. Not an open forum, not an open recorded forum. The other subcommittee members probably, I'm sure, couldn't hear what he was saying to each member because it was a one-on-one telephone interview from what I was told. Quite a different standard applied to one applicant as opposed to the other five. And I object to that. I strongly object to that. He was allowed a completely different interview process than what the other five applicants had. I strongly object to that. The second point I want to make is the endorsement of one candidate or the appearance of influencing an election. In the primary, there were three candidates. Candidate Scott Japp, he was the incumbent, seeking his third term, and two other candidates. We remind you that Scott Japp won the primary with Mr. Ray finishing second. Scott Japp's untimely death about 7 weeks ago left only one candidate on the ballot. At that point, I just started to think about the possibility of getting on the ballot myself to at least give the voters of the sub-district a choice, because there's only one person on the ballot now. And so after talking to the Secretary of State in the Secretary of State office in Lincoln, he told me we needed 1,900 valid signatures from voters in the district to be placed on the ballot by petition. And so after thinking that over for a couple weeks and talking to my family and friends, they said, yeah, you should do that. So I then announced my candidacy, and this was just barely a little over 2 weeks ago. And in that time, dozens of people have come forth offering to help me. We've already achieved over 1,900 petition signatures in just 2 weeks, and we're still accumulating more. We want far in excess of the 1,900 required. And we have till September 1st, so if you call down, and you know, it appears that nobody has filed the petitions. We're going to wait until near September 1st to accumulate as many signatures as possible. We're already past the 1,900 that we need, so I will be on the ballot. But my big concern is that your selection of one candidate at the expense of the other candidate could be seen as an attempt to influence the election to some degree. I believe that's not the duty or the purpose or the call of this board. I did not expect to be named the interim director. I didn't expect Mr. Ray to either. I thought the board would remain neutral on this subject and pick a well-qualified third candidate, of which there were several available. My third point I'd like to make is that my concern also is about the past decorum of the board. I've never been involved with this to this degree. I've never really attended the meetings. I've kept track of it through newspaper and television and reading the minutes and so forth. But obviously there was some sort of adversarial relationship that existed between Director Japp and the board, and vice versa between the board and Director Japp. My deep concern is that should I win this election, and there's a good probability I could win the election, I don't want the animosity transferred to me. Just because my last name is Japp doesn't mean I'm channeling Scott Japp in any way, shape, or form. I'm a completely different person, a completely different personality. I have a very calm, analytical personality. I can get along well with others. But my deep concern is that somehow you connect me to Scott Japp, which is not the case. I'm not Scott. It seems to me that the best course of action for this general board to take is to select neither myself nor Mr. Ray as the interim director. Select a well-qualified third-party candidate. Let the voters of Sub-District 1 decide who their candidate will be. Therefore, whoever wins the election can come onto the board in January with a clean slate. No preconceived notions.
Thank you, Mr. Jeff. I can assure you that should you be elected, there's already been a reasonable amount of discussion that we do not see you as Scott Jaff. Your demeanor is much different to address that issue should it become one. In addition to that, Bill Ray was not granted anything. He simply picked up the phone and called us, which was open to anybody and everybody that applied.
Where did it say that in here?
Where did it not? What did it say you couldn't? It's we're a public body. And lastly,
there's no option of calling you. It says you will go before the subcommittee. You will. You are scheduled to go. You will go, it says.
I'm not going to argue with the point. We're public officials. Our numbers are published. You can call us. Anybody can call us. So, and lastly, as far as influencing the election, are we then to assume that had you been nominated, that you would not accept it at this evening's meeting?
I had no notion, preconceived notion, that I would be selected. I didn't think I would be.
But even if you didn't, had you been nominated by this board, would you turn it down this evening?
Am I being nominated? It's a moot point. I'm not nominated.
Well, then it's a moot point.
I don't understand.
The whole thing's a moot point. You're saying that we're trying to influence the election by doing one thing, but if we did the other, you're not suggesting that you would.
It's good possibility that I wouldn't have accepted it. It's a strong possibility that I wouldn't have accepted it. I think that it should be a neutral thing. I don't believe any candidate should have the advantage like that. Let the voters decide, which they ultimately will.
They will, absolutely.
Anything
Thank
else?
You.
Thank you.
Any further public comment on the issue at hand? And directors?
I want to kind of emulate his, I think, neutral party should be nominated in this, and I would nominate either Brian Smith, Tammy Wirtz, or this Dennis Zock.
Is there anyone in particular you're nominating?
You have to nominate one.
Nominate one? Brian Smith.
All right, we do need a second for the nomination.
Is that a motion?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, was that a second? Okay.
Did you speak up? I couldn't hear.
There's no second on the motion. Oh, with no second, the motion fails. Any further comments from directors?
I'd like to nominate Vince Cramper.
We have a...
an abstention.
A motion to nominate
Vince Second.
Cramper. All right, we do have a second by Director Frost.
So you would have two candidates, and you would do a, Steve, is it a secret ballot or a roll call vote?
It's a roll call vote unless the board votes to adopt.
Okay. So roll call vote on the...
would be roll call vote on the motion, this motion, and then if that fails or passes, then we'd have to do it. Any comment on the...
So this would be the nomination of Vince Cramper to fill the seat.
Yes. Okay. Any comments on the nomination for Vince Cramper to
fill the seat? This is a... motion to add Vince Cramper.
Right.
So we'll end up with two, then one.
Right.
That's all your vote.
Yeah, we're adding.
Not to fill the seat.
Steve, wait, you want to clarify?
Yeah, it's actually a nomination and a second, so you don't need to vote on the motion. But now you have two candidates.
Okay.
Okay.
So we have without voting, we have two. Right. Now they vote on Cramper's nomination?
There's just a roll call vote on which candidate. The procedure that was adopted by the subcommittee was to allow nominations from the board as long as there was a second. So now you have two nominations to fill one slot. Unless the board now wants to have a secret ballot, they're just going to take a public roll call vote on.
So they just say who they're voting for?
Yes.
Okay. You want to do that or secret ballot? Board?
I'm good with public.
Public? Okay. So then, as your name is called, you select either Mr. Ray or Mr. Cramper. By vote, not yay, nay.
Any further comments from the board? Director Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's not usual that we get an opportunity to appoint someone. The statement by Mr. Ted Jaff that this would influence the election, I myself was nominated to the board when I first got involved. I was an incumbent for 2 years. That didn't make a damn difference for the following election because I failed. I lost. So 5 months, I don't know if that'd make a difference or not. So that allegation that you're automatically assumed, I personally went through that. It's not that's not a guarantee that the incumbent gets elected. And looking at all the candidates, I think Mr. Ray has shown over the last 6-7 months he's become this meeting a conscientious effort to be concerned about what the NRD is. It's in his family. I understand his father was on the board back in the early days. Myron, you probably met with the individual, and I hope the acorn didn't fall too far from the tree in that. In discussions, I don't think it has. The technicality of him not being here is excused. Just like tonight, we got two excused directors. That's the way of life. And the excuse was bona fide, in my opinion. But between Vince Cramper and Mr. Ray, Vince is a wonderful guy. I think Vince was overly concerned about who might be on the consideration. He's not here tonight with, I'm guessing, a reason that he had no expectation to be nominated. He's retired, happily retired up there in the Dakota City area. He's not here to offer an acceptance of the nomination, which, you know, might be a moot point. I don't know. So I think this process, it's gone through according to state law. State law has changed in a couple years ago, I guess. And it's only gotten refined as far as what we have to do. And legal counsel certainly laid out the technicalities quite accurately. So I appreciate that. That's all I have to say for now.
Thank you, Director Thompson. Any further comments from Director Brock?
To make my point again, it didn't help any last night when Director Teaser called Mr. Ray Director Teaser 4 times.
Would you repeat that, sir?
I didn't hear
you
that.
You called yet. Director, Mr. Ray, Director Ray, 4 times while we were sitting here Tuesday night.
And I called Ted Japp, Director Japp, a few times too.
It gets picked up in the public.
If that bothers you, I guess the reason why, and I'll respond to that, and Director Thompson actually called it to my attention. For years, I served with Bill Ray Sr., and he was known as Director Ray. And so I'm just so used to saying Director Ray, that's why it happened. I certainly didn't mean anything to try to influence anyone by those statements, but Bill Ray Sr. was Director Ray, just as you were Director Frost.
Any further comments from the board?
Right here. I'd just like to say that each of the candidates was certainly qualified, very impressed with the credentials that each brought to the interview process. I didn't sit on the committee myself, but I attended to listen and to hear what they had to say. Specifically, I'm nominating Vince Cramper for his prior service on this board and his institutional knowledge. I think we can use that experience and that wisdom that he would bring during the final month of the budgeting process. Also, he has pledged not to run or petition himself onto the electoral ballot, so he won't be on the ballot in November, and that removes the controversy of naming a candidate on the ballot politically, which if one of those two were to be appointed tonight, they would appear as the incumbent, and that can be seen as an advantage in the electoral process. That being said, I think we identified several people Tuesday night who are deeply interested in this board and the workings of the NRD. And just as a taxpayer, I like to see talent placed where it can do the most good. There was one candidate who applied for this position. I would love to see the NRD hire. She has wonderful experience. And the others also stay involved in some form or fashion with this organization or similar bodies within the community. That talent definitely needs to be utilized in a positive manner. So that's why I nominated Vince Cramper, and I wish everybody, or both potential candidates here, luck.
Thank you, Director Mott. Just a short comment on that. I don't see a controversy in the room or anything that's been done. The subcommittee simply chose the person that we felt was best fit to fill the position.
Understood.
Okay.
Thank you. With that, roll call on the motion.
Remember, you're voting for which candidate you would like to
say. Right,
you're voting for the candidate, not a yes or no. It's a Ray or Cramper.
Bill Ray. That was good again.
Thompson.
William Ray.
Little.
Kemper.
Bonnet.
Cramper.
Fred Conley.
William Ray.
Jeff Conley.
William Ray.
Ross.
Cramper.
And Chesterton.
William Ray.
Five. William Ray. Three. And Cramper.
Thank you, Gene. Congratulations.
Mr. Ray will be sworn in at the conclusion of the most of the agenda, so then you'll take your seat.
All right, moving on to 11B, Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee for the Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project. Director Patrick Leahy, or whoever's backing him up tonight. Who's the secondary?
John Colley.
I think I have.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 11B is a professional services contract with HDR Engineering. Subcommittee recommends that the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed professional services agreement with HDR Engineering for the Little Papio Channel Stabilization Project for the maximum not to exceed amount of $398,228, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and I so move.
If motion on the table, is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
And?
Yes.
Yes.
That concludes that report.
Thank you, Director Conley. 11C, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee. Once again, Director John Conley.
Okay, the first item is a West Branch Channel Bank Stabilization Project. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Niehauner Construction in the amount not to exceed $486,570 for the construction of the West Branch Channel Bank Stabilization Project, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? And then we'll call on the motion.
Will.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Rob.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Item 2. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute an interlocal agreement for the Platte River Consortium with the Lower Platte South NRD, the Lower Platte North NRD, the City of Lincoln Metropolitan Utilities District, and the Nebraska Department of Natural Resources for a maximum cost share of up to $40,000, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approved as informed by district legal counsel, and further that the district's assistant general manager and its groundwater management engineer be respectfully designated as the district's representative and alternate to the consortium, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call. We have a question from directors.
Wouldn't that be a elected board member position to be filled?
Not as a rep. It's more of a technical. There may be in the future a
technical
board
advisory.
Member. Yeah, it's technical data analysis and plan formulation.
Thanks, John. Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Yes.
Next is item 3 of Washington County Rural Water System and Lakeland Estates Water Company. Item 3A, Lakeland Estates Water Company. It's an agreement. The subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed Washington County Rural Water Supply System and Lakeland and Stakes Water Company Water Supply Agreement as presented to the subcommittee, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and subject to project financing approval by the district September board meeting. And I so move.
We once again have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to it? Staff? Director Frost?
I have a problem with this. I think this board has given this company money up front, and he don't have to pay it back for so many years. He's going to make a windfall of money off of this by charging his customers whatever he wants. That's all I got to say.
I thought that was set by the Public Service Commission.
Yeah, they have to agree to it. They have to approve it.
Yeah.
So thank you. They'll have a say in the water rate. Any further comments or questions from directors? Director Thompson.
I'm just of the folks here in Washington County. Any of them live in Lakeland Estates that can talk about their water, how bad it is? Okay. Well, we got some samples that show how bad it is, so I'm certainly in for it.
Yes, the district is advancing some money, but it will be paid back with interest. But, we're not loaning interest free money to anybody.
I didn't say you were loaning interest free money, but he's getting it at a reduced interest.
Only because we are.
Director Bonnet.
This is just another great example of a small local government entity cutting some red tape so that the voters and taxpayers of our community can be provided the essential services that they and their families require. In this case, it's pure drinking water. Samples on the table here show some samples that are contaminated with a higher or elevated iron levels. That's not necessarily a great thing for that community. Had this agreement not been reached, this entity, Lakeland Estates Water Company, would have been required probably to seek financing elsewhere. They're not able to. They don't have those resources. They're not qualified to do it. It requires a larger entity to stand in and make that effort for them. So I applaud this effort. I see this cutting red tape. I'm all for it.
Any further comments from director? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Fred Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Abstain.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Okay, next item is 3B, the bids received for the project. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Erickson Construction for the construction of the Washington County Rural Water Lakeland Connection Project in the bid amount of $226,362.75, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel, and subject to the project financing approval at the district September board meeting. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Fred Conley.
Yes.
Item 4 relates to Hell Creek Grade Stabilization. Subcommittee recommends the general manager be authorized to execute the proposed change order to the Valley Corporation construction contract for the Hell Creek Grade Control Stabilization Project in the amount of $129,339.86. bringing the total contract amount to $483,993.23, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Yeah.
Ethan.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
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 Mr. Chairman, may I be excused?
Yes. Thank you, Director Conley. Moving on to 11D, Finance Expenditures and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Be it resolved, the minutes of the August 9, 2016 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 1. Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance FY 2017 budget. Recommendation that the fiscal year 2017 budget for the Lower Platte River Corridor Alliance in the amount of $166,078 be approved, subject to funds being included in the district's FY 2017 budget, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we heard Tuesday night, the budget is 166, but the anticipated actual expenditures is about 95. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, if projects occur, we get built, but if they don't,
yeah,
we're not.
Okay.
Not our contribution.
Thank you.
Any further questions from directors? Seeing none, we'll call on the motion.
Yes.
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 Hi.
Yeah.
Yes.
Result? Thank you. Item 2, FY 2017 budget, draft 2, recommendation of the FY 2017 budget be forwarded for review at the September 8, 2016 budget hearing with the provision that the GM be authorized to make additional necessary adjustments once final figures are available to achieve compliance with state statutes regarding the lid, and I so move.
We have a motion on the table. Is there anybody from the public who wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Director Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've heard a couple of people talk about our $70 million budget. General Manager, each year we budget a certain amount, but you only spend a certain amount. What did we spend in fiscal year 16? We budgeted $82 million,
fiscal year 16 was $71 million, what we budgeted.
No, what did we actually spend, though?
Oh, typically it's 50-60%.
Okay.
That's historically like that.
Historically, we spend half our budget. I want to make a major correction. It was reported in the World Herald today that the district would spend $70 million. We're not going to spend $70 million. Testimony received tonight with the paper here in front of me says we should be angered by the $70.5 million that we're going to spend. We're not going to spend $70 million. We're going to spend roughly half that, as we have always. We budget a certain amount to do the things that we need to do. My personal feeling is budget should be higher. Mill levy should be higher. It's at 3.8. I came across in the work I do a document from 1960s, early 70s as well, a bunch of documents about the Papio Creek watershed. And it was just amazing. I don't know, Marlon, have you had a chance to see that yet? Okay, I should pass it on to Steph, but it was incredibly amazing how the watershed plan over 50 years ago, approximately 50 years ago, talk about what we need to do to protect the watershed and those people, at the time mostly farms, what we had to do to protect it. If we were to overlay that agreement over what we have today and what we've done today with our technological advances, our expertise of the engineering folks, whether it's contract or on staff, the money we have to do, the things we have to do, we're still playing catch-up. And it's in one hand, gosh, what are we going to be in front of the eight ball instead of behind it? And I hope sometime in my lifetime we'll be in front of the eight ball then and trying to play catch up. But as John Winkler mentioned Tuesday, we're still got pressure on us. You know, I want to build those houses. I want to build those houses. No, we need to build flood protection for the existing houses. And then you want to put more in. That's why I feel that we need, and we are concentrating a lot on on flood protection that we have. And it was nice to see, did he leave, a gentleman from Nebraska taxpayers said we should concentrate on the flooding. Well, cool. Doug Kagan put that in writing. I'm glad to hear that. That he wants us to concentrate on flooding. Well, we are. And it's costing a good chunk of money with land rights and construction. But that's, obviously we do other things, and I think we do need to plant more trees, and regardless of eliminating any tree planting and the other minor things that they brought up. But anyways, it's a great budget. I want to commend staff for what they've done to control it. Years ago, we had one accountant that his name was Jack, and I think he didn't do as good a job as a fraction of our part-timers. That we only have one part-timer, right, in the accounting section?
Yes.
But we have two and a half.
Two and a half.
And you all do a great job, and you ought to be commended, because we do collect a lot of revenue. Don't collect enough, but John and Marlon and others do their best and to get the money from wherever we have to get it to add to our budget, and that's fantastic. So I'm proud of this budget. Douglas County, for example, wants to bond $45 million. Taxpayers for Freedom said, oh, we're behind that. And we get squawked at for wanting to bond a half penny. It's a moot point at this point, but for future consideration, the ability to fund these projects needs to be a strong consideration for this board, and if not this budget, for future budgets. With that, I fully endorse the budget, and that's all I have to say for right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Thompson. Any further comments from directors, questions from directors?
I guess I just have one. I don't know if you saw it in the press releases today that came in your email. There's a group in Central Platte NRD called Taxpayers Lives Matter, and they're advocating, basically they're saying, we don't give a damn about levies, just cut the taxes. Can you imagine, as a director, being told, hearing the public say, we don't give a damn about flood control or levies, just cut the taxes? I just find that, just read the article if you get an opportunity. I just found that unbelievable. That's all I have.
Thank you, Director Teaser.
I'd like to make that.
And
not everybody in the public knows, but I'm the treasurer of the district, and I don't begin to know all the ins and outs. But we heard tonight about, well, you don't spend all your money. And that's true. We don't spend all our money. But quite often there's a corresponding decline in funds coming in from whatever source, whether it be agreements, whether it's federal money, state money, whatever matching funds. And if the funds don't materialize, some of the projects don't move forward. And so you can't just look at spending without looking at the revenue side of the equation as well. And any money that's not spent is carried over and starts the next year as money in the bank. So it's preserved for the taxpayers for the next year.
Director Bonner.
Earlier we heard Doug Little represent Doug Kagan for the Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom, a group that I sponsored for over 10 years prior to my election to this board. One of the concepts that we advocated for was zero-based budgeting and budget neutralization. And what you've heard explained today is just that. Without creating a formula to lock an entity in to reducing its budget with a budget neutralization formula, we taxpayers are relying on the elected officials to hold the line on mill rate increases and or decrease the property mill rate when appropriate. And this organization, as we heard from our general manager, has done just that for 12 years now. You can either do it budget neutralization in practice, or you can impose a spending lid or a formula. In this entity's efforts, imposing such a formula would be putting the public at risk, because should a heavy rainfall or a flood event occur, this entity needs to react quickly. And as you can see from some of the comments made by our staff, they are creative and should be applauded for their efforts. They're doing a huge amount of work with what Director Thompson just alluded to is a tight budget. So in my opinion, we can be mad at government in general, the waste, fraud, and abuse at the federal level, but this is local. It's we're spending our own tax dollars. We're all neighbors here. So we absolutely are keeping our eye on the spending. I'm for this budget. I'm going to be voting yes. Thank you.
Any further comments from directors? I'll be brief and just I do want to thank staff for putting together a solid budget for this year. It is always reassuring to see how much effort is put into cost shares as well as going out for grants, federal grants, to try to make up some fundings from other locations as opposed to just going to the local taxpayers to raise more revenue. With that, roll call on the motion.
Thompson.
Yes.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bryce Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Ross.
Stain.
Caesar.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Yes.
Motion carries 78.
Thank you, Director Caesar.
Moving on. Moving
on to agenda item 12, the Treasurer's Report, Director John Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The two resolutions consist of the Treasurer's Report. They're on the board. I will not read them. I specifically ask your approval of items 11A through 11I inclusive.
12A?
12A, yeah.
12A.
I second.
Thank you.
We have a motion second on the table. Is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak to this item? Staff or directors? Seeing none, roll call on the motion.
Poodle.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
Bryce Conley.
Aye.
John Conley.
Yes.
Rob.
Yeah.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Thompson.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Gene. Item 13, the oath of office administered to the newly appointed director of Subdistrict Number 1, Lori Laster.
Oh, he wants a few minutes to speak to the board.
Nice.
It's up to Mr. Ray.
Yeah, Mr. Ray, would you care to address the board? You have a few minutes, should you choose to use them. Otherwise, jump into things.
Sure, a couple of comments.
Sure.
I would like to thank the board for having a confidence in me. At an early age, I was taught by my father the importance of soil and water conservation. I was also taught to give back to the industries and the resources that have made our family's way of life possible. My plan is to work toward being an asset to the board, but in no way a rubber stamp. Serving in both state and national cattle organizations, I have a wealth of knowledge and experience to share. My main goal is to be an effective voice for District 1 by listening to all points of view before making informed decisions. I will continue to diligently campaign to be the elected voice of the people of District 1.
Thank you. Lori, please.
You raise your right hand and repeat after me. I state your name.
I, William Ray III.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
Do solemnly swear that I will support.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of Nebraska.
And the Constitution of the State of Nebraska.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
I take this obligation freely.
And without mental reservation or for purpose of evasion.
Without mental reservation. Without mental reservation.
Or for purpose of evasion.
Or for purpose of evasion.
And that I will faithfully and impartially.
I will faithfully and impartially.
Perform the duties of the office of director.
Perform the duties of office of the director.
Of the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District.
Of the office. Yeah. Sorry.
You're fine. Of the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources.
Of the Papio Missouri River Natural Resource District.
According to law and the best of my ability.
According to law and the best of my ability.
And I do further swear.
I do further swear.
That I do not advocate.
That I do not advocate.
Nor am I a member of.
Nor am I a member of.
Any political party or organization.
Any political party or organization.
That advocates.
That advocates.
The overthrow of the government.
The overthrow of the government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
Or of this state.
Or of this state.
By force or violence.
By force or violence.
And that during such time as I am in this position.
As during such time that I'm in this position.
I will not advocate.
I will not advocate.
Nor become a member of.
Nor become a member of.
Any political party or organization.
Any political party or organization.
That advocates the overthrow.
That advocates the overthrow.
Of the government of the United States.
The government of the United States.
Or of this state by force or violence.
Or of this state by force or violence.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Laura. Cool. Moving on to agenda 14, chairperson's report. Obviously, I'd like to welcome Bill to the board of directors. I look forward to serving you over with the next couple months and possibly beyond. And I also want to thank everybody who took the time and effort to apply for the position and came to the interview, to go through the interview process with us as well. With that, that concludes my report. Moving on to 15, General Manager's Report, John Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The information education report is attached for July. Personnel miscellaneous items, the district secretary, Penny Birch, is retiring. And she will be leaving the district in October of this year.
She old enough?
Yes. Well, I didn't ask that question. Penny started with the district in February of 2003, and obviously we wish her the best of luck and I think relaxation and retirement, it sounds like. So. So we're currently advertising for the position, and Gene is going through that 50 right now. So 50 right now. So we have a stack to go through. We also received some correspondence from the Omaha Home for Boys thanking the district for their not only support for the Celebrate Trees program from Lori and John Strong, but also recognizing George Tillich and Marty Tiemann just for their overall customer support and assisting with that organization. So we try to get these out to the board when we get them, because we do have quite a few professionals that have great customer service, and they really do look out for the public. One thing that we are, I was involved with the meeting with the La Vista Police Department and the Burlington Northern Railroad yesterday concerning the tragedy that occurred on the bridge over the West Papio. And so the La Vista Police Department got everyone together that either has some right-of-way in that area or obviously facilities. And we're coming up with some solutions to deter people from hanging out in that area. And obviously getting on the track. So it was truly kind of a public-private partnership that everybody had the same goal of trying to eliminate that hazard, and it's a very difficult situation. I know they're going to step up enforcement, but there's also some things that we can do and the railroad has agreed to do to maybe make that area less attractive and less secluded so we can maybe prevent that from occurring before. The La Vista Police Department showed us a list of calls and activity they've had in that area for the last 2 years, and it was probably over 50 or 60 incidents. And it's all times of year. And so it's become a huge, huge problem. And obviously the death of that young man and the injury of the other motivated them, obviously, to try to do something permanently to get a handle on it. So we're working with them on that. So there may be some budget items that we might have to put in here between this draft and the next to help correct that situation the best we can. Report on purchases, construction services, and professional services, personal properties attached, as well as the ongoing project with the district legal counsel. The partnership meeting was canceled for July, and the next meeting is scheduled for August 25th, 2016 at 10 a.m. here at the NRC. One other item of note that we received some statistics on the water well decommissioning activity. If you remember, last year we raised the cost share that the district would assist landowners or well owners with closing. We averaged for the last 2 years 19 a year. This year we have 50. And the activity is still strong. We're the third highest in the state for activity for closing wells. So a great thing, obviously. We're getting people on municipal or rural supply, but also then you close the well, so you eliminate contamination and those type of things that can occur. So It was a good move and great results to just raise that cost share a little bit. So we'll continue to monitor it, but from this activity, we're getting a lot of extra activity to do that. So that concludes my report. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, John. Agenda item 16, legal update. Mr. Blackwell, if they have one this evening. All right.
I move we go into executive session to discuss legal issues.
Second. We have a motion and a second to go into executive session to discuss legal issues. Roll call on the motion.
Yes.
Fred
Thomas. Hi. John Thomas. Yes. Rob. Yeah. Lady. Sorry. Yeah. Ray. Yes. Tom Sutton. Yes. Woodle.
Yes.
And Chairperson.
Yes.
You're going to
add
four more wells to that next year in Lakeland, too.
Yeah. Executive session. Roll call on the motion, please.
Fred Thomas.
Hi.
John
Yes.
Ross.
Yeah.
Ray.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Yes.
Bonnet.
Yes.
And
Chairman. Yes. With that, there's no motions or anything to address out of the executive session. So moving on to informational items number 17. The next reminder, the next Board of Directors meeting will be in Dakota City Field Office on September 8th of this year. Moving on to 18, we are now adjourned. Thank you.